Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable for this Monday morning. It is the 31st, the last day of July.
No.
I know.
How did that happen?
So last day of July, and we are with you. It is 9:13 in the morning, although I will say that the panel pretty much, you missed it, but the panel pretty much started about 9:08.
And now we're done. Thank you very much.
The panelists are ready to go, talk about the issues of the day. Well, let me introduce the panel to you, and then we'll give you a couple of reminders of how you can participate. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Hello. Berkshire Ramblers played a gig at the Blueberry Festival in Austerlitz yesterday.
How was that?
Went very well. Very well indeed. Great, well-attended, and a beautiful, beautiful, sunny day. I never saw so many people, so much that they ran out of pancake batter for the
blueberry pancakes. Yeah. Yeah.
But they made more, not to worry.
They made more blueberries or they made more pancakes?
Both.
Loaves and fishes and all of that.
Yes.
And we're going to be at Tanglewood tomorrow.
I can't wait. I love Tanglewood, and I'm so glad you reminded me.
Well,
otherwise, I would have been over here.
Political consultant Libby Post joins us. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning, dear.
How are you?
Fine.
And communications consultant Teresa Bourgeois joins us as well. Good morning.
Hello.
Thank you very much for being here. All right. A reminder, panel at WAMC.org to get in on your letters and keep them short, keep them to the point. That's all we ask. And panel at WAMC.org, and we'll get to what's going on. Well, it didn't take long for the weekend. We've been saying that Friday afternoons are usually pretty good for a bombshell, and we got one in the sense that Reince Priebus was fired, asked to resign, resigned.
He was left out in the rain.
Yeah, like the cake.
Literally
left
the
cake
out
in the rain. Right.
That's because Trump found out from the mooch that he was a paranoid schizophrenic.
Yes. So
paranoid, is a new word for Webster.
It's been used before.
I know how I spell it. I mean, I was looking at the spelling.
N-O-I-C.
Yeah. No, I know. But I had never looking at the spelling. It was odd. Anyway. Regardless of that.
I think more than the spelling was odd.
Yes.
Sorry.
So Priebus is out, General Kelly has been named. In fact, he was sworn in just about 15 minutes ago during a ceremony at the White House. He is the new chief of staff. You will remember he comes from the Department of Homeland Security, which we now do not know who will be running that office, although it was thought that perhaps it could be Jeff Sessions, although we don't know about that. And then we also heard rumors over the weekend that Steve Bannon may also be on the chopping block, and as a total White House reset is in the works.
Okay, so Libby and I were having this fight before and it was a fight.
It wasn't an argument.
It was a fight before the program went on. And Libby's position is, you know, everybody, and it's true, everybody loves the general and Kelly. And my position is, you know, I'll be honest with you, so the military are finally running the government.
I don't know if I said everyone loves the general.
Well, no, I was watching all the TV, you know, TV.
Okay, that's
and
fine.
Everybody said they love him, that he's a great guy, that he has great integrity and all that. Then the big fight between you and me, Libby, was over what this all means. And, you know, you said basically we're all praying for this guy to do a good job here, right? Is that right?
On some level, yeah. I would like to see some normalcy back in the White House so that governing can happen. Yeah. On another level, there's a part of me that would like the chaos to continue.
Well, here's the problem. Let's say the guy comes in and behaves himself and just brings a little less chaos. That doesn't mean Trump is changing. I'm not done yet. I'm not changing his program.
He
wants to screw the poor on a number of levels, and he's going to do it. So do you want efficiency in doing that, or do you want chaos in doing it? I'll take the chaos.
I agree with you, Alan. I'll take the chaos, too. I don't want him to be able to you know, advance that I don't even know if it's a conservative agenda, whatever his agenda is.
Chaos agenda.
Right, the chaos agenda. But I, you know, I do think that there are people, look, the more destabilized the White House is, the more likely we are to come under threat by players like North Korea and Russia. And, you know, there was a story in the Times about, you know, Putin's bet didn't pay off with
right.
Trump. And I think he's wishing now that Hillary was president so that he could at least have someone rational to talk with. And I think that there are a lot of people who are starting to look at what's going on now and recognizing that we are at a much greater risk from a national security standpoint than we've ever been before, because we have a guy in the White House who tweets international policy, his finger is on that proverbial red button, and we don't know what he can do. I mean, he chastised China for not doing enough on North Korea.
Well, you know, when Obama left office, the thing he told him was North Korea was going to be his biggest worry, and I think that is true, and I think it would have been true no matter who was the president. I know you have a lot to say, and I respect that.
Oh, thank you.
But Teresa, you gave me a fish eye when I was speaking before, and
no,
I was wondering
you're
what
not
that.
Cut
yeah,
off
no,
Libby
it,
like that.
It was a fish
Let
eye.
Let Libby talk.
Well, no, but what about your fish eye?
Hmm?
You clearly disapproved of what I was saying. You gave me a fish eye.
Oh, let him do his thing, Teresa.
Well,
you know, it's Monday.
Do you want to finish talking?
No, I'm fine. Go ahead.
I believe the chaos is to a point where it's dangerous. It's dangerous for, I think he's tearing at the fabric of our society socially with his bullying, verbal bullying. And I think that in terms of our national security, when words don't matter anymore, words from the president matter, whether he's
right.
careful about mm-hmm. them or not. And words send signals. They send signals around the country, and they send signals globally. And I think that our allies are concerned, and those who do us harm are quite aware, as Libby says, of the potential here. And so I think I'm not sure that General Kelly can establish some order, but if he can, so be it. I think that that would make us all a lot safer.
Even though the military would be running the country, basically. Not what you're saying.
I think what we need now is some stability.
Yeah, I don't know if the military would be running the country. Although I have to say, last week with the transgender tweet, the military did the right thing and said, "Oh, hold on now."
Well,
no,
I think
that's not going to happen.
Not exactly.
Until we go through their process,
Libby.
They
I think
need
that
to go
that's a
their
very
process.
Right. I think that's a very important point. One of the things last week, from my point of view, was a very challenging week for the fate of our democracy. But that's the downside. The positive side, and James Fallows wrote about this yesterday, one of the positive sides is that you saw in a number of areas democracy kicking in. Mm-hmm. The levers of our
right.
brilliant
mm-hmm.
founders put a lot of fire breaks in there to help in case there were problems. And you saw the generals the
right.
saying a tweet is not a directive. That, you know, on the transgender issue, you saw on the notion of Sessions being fired, you saw the senators step up and say, no, not on our watch. You can do that, but we won't approve another attorney general. So basically, don't do that.
And they wouldn't even go out of session in order for him
to do
that. And
they won't go out of session.
Unclear.
And we'll see about that. But also on the when President Trump said what he said about police officers, breaking the law mm-hmm. in terms of how people they arrest are treated. You saw the police community say, no, that's not the way we do business. And so I think that you did. And then with the health care bill, you saw the effect mm-hmm. of the American people stepping up and saying no.
Okay.
And you saw the Boy Scouts apologizing.
Right. So that both the people and the various other aspects of our government stepped in and said no.
Okay, I agree.
Did you
with
want that. To talk, Alan? Or
no,
I think we should let Libby talk.
No. Okay, let Libby talk.
I'm
teasing you, Alan.
Let's
I'm
go
good.
To Alan. Let's go to Alan.
Let's go to Alan.
I was teasing you, Alan. I'm
okay.
sorry.
Okay. Well, it's your show, so.
It's not my show. It's Joe's show.
Alan, I was kidding you. Sorry, I was teasing.
But I do want to make it clear that I'm very much worried that if he brings outward stability to the White House, Kelly does, that what you're going to have is outward stability, which is going to, in effect, help Trump bring on his terrible program to hurt the poor, to hurt the middle class in this country, and to help the rich. So I'm worried that the appearance of stability in this chaotic mess might in fact be a bad thing.
But then it's up. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say that, however, there. This he still reports to Donald Trump, and Donald mm-hmm. Trump is going to be is the source of much of this chaos. So it seems unlikely that anyone will be able to tame that beast, number one. But number two is that so I understand wanting to have some stability and hoping that there could be stability just for the sake of a government going on. However, how long, I mean, I don't mean to be overly cynical, but I think I certainly agree with a lot of people who say, well, how long is that going to last?
Right.
I mean, he's turned his back on everybody. Right. At what point does he, the reports over the weekend is now he has his eye on Bannon. He's still considering getting rid of Sessions, even though everyone has come out and said that they're going to, but he doesn't like to be told no. And on top of that, then you have Kelly walking in. So I don't know. I mean, how long before he turns his back on this guy who did such a great job?
And Scaramucci has made it clear mm-hmm. he's going to continue to report directly to the President of the United States.
And that will be a sign of whether or not Kelly has real power mm-hmm. if that changes
and
or
the
not.
Kids. But right. the White House right now is like Lord of the Flies on steroids.
Explain.
You know, it's the survival of the fittest. There's constant battling between all the various factions. Who's going to end up at the top of the hill? And I think, you know, Kelly will come in and try to do his job because that's what he's programmed to do as a military person, is to do his job. Trump is not going to hand over the phone. He's not going to stop tweeting. Scaramucci will do his thing in trying to subvert Kelly. The kids won't pay attention to him at all. And if Bannon is out, there'll be some new person to fill that void. But if Bannon is out, if he is banished, just wait for Breitbart to start attacking Trump.
And they've already started a little bit. Well, there are basically three factions in the White House, and by all, you know, people who watch Trump for years say this is how he likes to
right.
set things up.
He likes chaos.
That he likes competing interests. Mm-hmm. That he's done it in his business.
So did FDR,
so
by the way.
It's no surprise that he put it in his White House.
But he was smart. He knew how to manage.
Yeah.
You basically have the family, you know, camp, and then you have the campaign camp, the Mercer folks,
yeah.
the
mm-hmm.
Bannon and Kellyanne Conway and those folks. And then you have what some people describe as a GOP establishment. You have the Pence and then some of his folks. And Priebus was in that group. And they're now weakened. I'm interested to see what happens with Pence with Kelly in there. Well, I mean, I think I'm not sure that General Kelly can tame this situation. But one hopes that he can bring enough stability so that we're a little safer globally.
It's sort of like Pence pokes his head up when he needs to and then stays underground the entire time to keep his head down so that he can be ready to ascend without all the Trump
Could
stink
be.
On him.
Could be, but Pence keeps his head down until he's told to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the case. So you want a couple of letters, Joe, or
of
not?
Of course.
Okay. Julius, our regular correspondent, says, Trump actually encouraged police brutality in an address in New York last week. Unbelievable and totally unacceptable behavior.
We have that on our list. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. And Robert, our old friend, says, good morning, panel.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm. With all the rhetoric about General Kelly and his integrity, would someone with integrity want to work with this most unethical administration? Maybe Kelly feels that he can bring some integrity to the White House, but good luck with that. Well, it's an interesting question.
It seems like it will take more than one man to
yeah.
change this.
They all have to be willing to
dynamic
change.
And culture, but
right.
And wonder why he wants to do it.
Yeah. Well.
And John from Woodstock, who writes quite frequently, first Bernie is putting a bill to the floor to create a single-payer health care system. Let's see how many votes the insurance lobby can muster to defeat it. Second, Sean Patrick Maloney, in the 19th District's alter representative, because you remember he came in, is proposing Congress provide the funds to see up a tick disease setup, a tick disease prevention center, which could benefit thousands of voters in the upstate region, while Faso conjures ways to exercise the Democratic demons in all of his constituents. And I don't think the word
excise.
He meant to mean was not exercise, it was excise.
Or exorcise as an exorcist.
Or excise.
Yeah, that too. But I think he meant exorcise.
Check your mail, folks. All right.
But I also think what Senator Sanders is reportedly going to propose is a Medicare for all.
And it should be. That's the way to go.
Not a single payer. He's going to redefine it as Medicare for all.
That's the way to go because it builds on a successful program and it's not a pig in a poke. And you ask the question, if everybody over 65 can have really good health care delivered, why can't people under 65 have that same kind of health
care? That's right.
The president tweeted this morning, highest stock market ever, best economic numbers in years, unemployment lowest in 17 years, wages raising, border secure, SC.
Security Council.
Okay. No White House chaos, exclamation
point. No White House chaos. You're right. No White House chaos. Well, it's a lie. And he is a liar. So that's just the way that it is. And now we have to worry about the way in which all of this is going to play out because there will be continued chaos. That's my view.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We welcome your letters, panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org, and we'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to the panel discussion this morning. We have Alan Chartok, Teresa Bourgeois, and Libby Post, and it's very nice to have you with us as well. We have letters, too, so let's start off with that, and then we'll move on to other topics as we make our way through the morning into the list this morning.
Mike says, to the people on the panel that want chaos and the White House to fall apart, it's like wanting a plane we're all on to go down. My God, people, be careful what you wish for.
I agree with that one.
Well, I know you do. We just duped it out. Abigail says, what a wonderful topic. Chaos as long as it is organic. I am an organic anarchist, and I truly appreciate your use of metaphoe. M-E-T-A-P-H-O-E. Metaphoe.
Metaphoe.
Is that something I don't know
I would
about?
Say metaphor.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
The R and the E are next to each other on the keyboard.
Abigail may in fact, be... You know, be no something I don't know. Okay, your use
Excuse
of
me.
Metaphor.
Maybe I'm allergic
keep,
as well.
Keep
Go
up
ahead.
The good and bad work. Keep on trekking. The mountain is hugely high. Abigail, okay, that's Abigail from Kingston. And Michael, a regular correspondent, says, Teresa's so great, the best. She brings common sense, clarity, and intelligence to the panel. She's such an asset to the roundtable. I love her.
Well, that's very sweet. Thank
Aww.
You.
Nice. Oh. Okay, I, Paul, otherwise known as Namaste. Namaste. I'm so sorry. Missing the target, he takes the press away from the real news and has all looking only at him. $1.6 billion for the wall is part of the budget approved for ICE. ICE requires no warrants to knock on the door and burst in. And yes, Alan is correct. We have the military running the country and the wars. One of his first moves was to give blanket authorization to the generals to adjust troops' involvement as they see fit. So ask yourself, what is a government run by the military called?
Alan, do you think that they'd gladly give back the authority if there was a different president in place?
I have no idea. Once you get authority, I think it's very hard to give it out. You know, there are some countries like Turkey where the military were the big guardians of all kinds of non-sectarian civil rights and everything else. And every time you got a crazy guy becoming, the head guy, they would come in and they would set it right. So it's not always that the military are bad. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're good.
You just get habituated to it. Yeah. I guess I have the Pollyannish view that they're stepping in as a sense of duty. I mean, for General Kelly, this can't be a good career move. And
he'll write a book and make a few million.
Make
I don't know how much career he has left after this. You know, I mean, you know, he was the general, the Marine Corps general. He resigned, and then he was Homeland Security, and now he's this. The only thing I can think of next in going up the ladder would be president. And he already is that, if you look at what's going on here. All right. Ryan says, do you folks think the military should be footing the bill for Private Benjamin to change their sex? This means we pay for their reassignment. Is that okay with you? If so, please elaborate. Additionally, why not approve cosmetic surgery, etc., not necessary for life surgery? Thanks for inspiring us to keep on thinking, a play on keep on trucking, and I would add to that, keep on keeping on, which is the old left-wing mantra, which, you know, is a sort of secret salute.
Are you looking to me for comments?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Trump made this erroneous statement that it would be so financially devastating to the military. They spend more on Viagra. So, yes, I do think if someone who's in the military and is a good, does his job or her job, and they want to transition, yes, I do think that we should be supporting that. And as long as they continue to do their job in the military. And, you know, there's been a lot of stuff on social media. There was a video of two people who were both in the military. One was a female to male who's serving in Afghanistan, and his unit fully embraces him. And his partner was a male to female transgender person. And she is in the medical corps in the States, and she is not getting the kind of support that she would hope to get. But they both are patriots, and they both want to serve their country. So why not?
Teresa, do you think that's true? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, what I do. I think that the military has been, for a long time, you know, they were the first to integrate minorities and such, and and they have been really leaders in this.
That's right.
And I think that the Trump team was probably surprised at the public reaction. I think that, you know, there were quotes about how one of the reasons they did this, they wanted to wait, watch, and see how the Democrats, you know, got into political trouble by coming to the defense of transgender folks. And I thought that that was very cynical and bullying. But what really happened is a number of Republicans stood up and said, this isn't right. And most intriguingly, the generals said that a tweet is not a directive, and we will await a directive through the proper channels.
But that doesn't mean the generals are in favor of this happening. But I think that they're like, you know, the Army didn't blow up when it became okay for gays to serve openly. And the same thing will happen here.
And I thought the most... I'm sorry, Joe.
Joe, did you want to say something?
No, I was just saying that the generals, to your point, the generals also, yes, they were not overwhelming, but there were generals who said that this is working, the policy is working, and it is that by doing this, you will be taking some incredible soldiers out of the mix who are...
There are thousands.
Yes.
Well, that was most interesting to me, is the number of transgender people in the military where it has not been a major issue. I went back to find the quote, Trump operative says, quote, this forces Democrats in Rust Belt states like Ohio, Michigan, and Wisconsin to take complete ownership of this issue, and it would be, quote, fun to watch some of them have to defend having transgender soldiers. I mean, how cynical and horrible is that? We're talking about individual people's lives.
And one other thing here. We all know that White Houses and all other and governors poll like crazy. So that while Libby may take the position, and I agree with it, that this should be done, pardon me, and you agree, Teresa, I think a very cynical president is sitting up there looking at those numbers of people who don't approve of it and who are saying, okay, I'll have a pound of this, please.
Playing to his base, yeah.
Well, I think that his 30 to 35%. Yeah.
Right, and I think with Sessions, when he attacks Sessions, he really weakens the hold on his base. And so I think he has to do things to try to strengthen the hold on his base. And I think this is one of the things that he did last week in
an effort to bait.
It was to try to strengthen the control on his base. But in fact, he's dealing with real people's lives in a very un-American way.
And I think the majority of people are like, enough already with who you sleep with, how you identify. People are people. As Orrin Hatch said, transgender people are people. Let's just move on from this, that there are more pressing. And for transgender people, this issue is incredibly important, and I don't want to diminish that. But for the rest of the country who are not focused on that particular issue, they see other things, as like North Korea, as being a little more pressing, and that we want the best people in our military. And if they're transgender or gay, so be it, as long as they do their job and they're patriots and they're there to serve the country.
Right. And so, why are we spending so much on Viagra, by the way?
Well,
I don't know.
Well, it has to do with that.
It's a lot of money.
It has to do with one of the things that Scaramucci said last week.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean why. I mean.
So anyway, Jim wrote, here's one way the country might survive. Kelly, McMaster, and Tillerson walk into Trump's office, close the door, and tell, and then he uses an appellation which I don't approve of, in chief, you fire Bannon, Scaramucci, and Mnuchin immediately, or we resign. That ain't going to happen.
No.
Okay. And let's see here. Joyce says, SC equals Supreme Court. He's referring to the Gorsuch appointment. Why?
In the tweet that we read, we said SC, and I think you said Security Council.
Yeah, right.
It was Supreme Court. I was sorry about that. Thank you. That was a good clarification. Thank you.
Russ says, it appears to me that we are overthinking the West Wing personnel shuffles. From Mr. Trump's point of view, before he defeated the Democratic Party, he defeated a Republican Party that put up dozens of opponents. Now that the Republican Senate has failed to deliver on his campaign promises, he has abandoned Priebus and has failed as a failed relic of attempted reconciliation with the leaders of Congress. His efforts now will be entirely dedicated to putting his supporters in the midterm primaries. And that's Russ from Manan.
Well, for me, the bottom line is the president has his finger on the, the button. And if General Kelly in there can be a moderating force to help him understand about what happens when he says the things he says about China or some of the things he says about Russia, then all the better.
And, having Kelly there when Trump has to go into the Situation Room with the whole Joint Chiefs and all that whole scenario, at least there'll be somebody there who can explain it to him and can be...
Who he respects.
Well, who he respects, who can be the translator in chief so that into language that Trump will actually understand.
Right. The real, I think, signal will be what happens with Scaramucci. Does Scaramucci report to General Kelly or does Scaramucci report directly to the president? Because that will be a signal of whether or not General Kelly has a clear staff authority.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We have more letters. They've just been delivered. They're fresh. And we'll go over that and new topics right after this.
Support comes from New York State AFL-CIO with 2.5 million members speaking with one voice, helping working families achieve a better life. NYSAFLCIO.org. Mountain Road School, New Lebanon, New York, meeting the education needs of students preschool through 8th grade. Nature-based, community-focused, individualized, emergent curriculum, accepting fall enrollments, mountainroadschool.org. The Vascular Group, specializing in vascular health with 10 locations in upstate New York, bringing internationally recognized care to your hometown, albanyvascular.com. And from Albany Parking Authority, offering more than 5,000 public parking spots in Albany, parkalbany.com for on-street and garage options. And from the 1850 House Inn and Tavern, Rosendale, New York, waterfront dining on their pet-friendly deck in the Hudson Valley, the 1850house.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Teresa Bourgeois, and Libby Post make up the group. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. Alan has a few more.
I do. Okay, so we heard from James, who said, Trump has a successful paradigm that libs hate. Love how you... I love how you parse his every move. This is a new order that will succeed by keeping you all busy with tight undies. And that's from James, PhD.
Really?
That's what it says.
P- PhD, huh?
Good morning, panel. As reported in the New York Times, an American woman is about five times as likely to die in pregnancy or childbirth as a British woman. And a woman in Texas is 10 times as likely to die from pregnancy as a woman in Sweden or Spain. Republicans, with their no health care for women and children, no support for Planned Parenthood, and no interest in toxic overpopulation, intend to make pregnancy and birth more dangerous for women across America. This is unacceptable. And that's from Naomi in Beacon.
I think this is Nick Kristoff wrote a piece on this for the mm-hmm. Times. I think that's what she's written.
Alger said, I wish to hear more from Alan on the military in charge of the government. What are the possible implications? And, of course, what are the definitions? Give him a few minutes to talk.
What worries you most, Alan?
To explore this. Right now, I don't know. I do know one thing, and that this country is famous for keeping civilian control in charge, as opposed to the military. And, you know, sometimes, and we've been talking about it all morning, you get somebody like Kelly who comes in and he says, everybody says, yeah, he'll be good. He'll get the president to do this. He was in charge of the Marines and he was in charge of all the Homeland Security. And it may be so that he will. But what about the next guy?
Mission creep.
Yeah. What about the next guy? That's what you worry about. So this differential between the military and the civilians is very important as far as I'm concerned. You know, JFK, I don't know if it's apocryphal or not. I've heard the story. I don't know if it's so. But said after the Bay of Pigs stood up and he said, I'm taking full responsibility for this travesty. And then he muttered, and I'll never listen to another general again.
Right, he bucked his generals because they turned out to be wrong.
Right.
Now, so, but could you imagine, George Bush, they didn't bring in generals, right? They didn't.
Not that I know
President
of.
Obama, as I recall, didn't.
Bring in generals to what?
In key leadership positions where military usually don't.
No, Jay Johnson was even. Right. Was it military? No, they didn't.
I was trying to think as you were talking about a precedent for this.
No, he loves being surrounded by military because it bucks him up.
He listens to generals. Right. He does listen
to generals.
Didn't
do it.
No,
that's
he
for sure. He had
he went to military school.
He had flat feet.
He had bone spurs.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they asked him on which foot. He couldn't remember.
Let's see. James says, I do not
I'm
want
sorry,
to...
that really bothers me.
Well, it's a funny part of it, isn't
James,
it?
James said, I do not want to pay for private Joe to help get sexual relations. No help for trans, then no help for Viagra. James. That's a very good question you asked before about, somebody asked it, about why do we want to give Viagra to the soldiers?
I'm not quite sure.
Well, in my day at Camp Bronx House, there was always the allegation that they put saltpeter in the, you know, in the chocolate pudding.
Okay, is it time for a break?
Yeah, I'm just looking for it now. I don't see a newscaster. Ray's on vacation.
So how about Fire Island?
Let's go back to that.
That was the last time on Fire Island. Help us, Liz. Is there music, bumper music, please?
There's something to be said about the notion of the rape culture in the military. And, you know, I hope there's no connection between the two. But...
Well, isn't that a bit of a stretch?
It might be, or it might not be.
Are you suggesting that they give male soldiers Viagra so that they can
rape
people?
No, but I think in military thought, regardless if it's the American military or, you know, the use of rape as part of a military operation is becoming more and more commonplace. And here we are providing Viagra for people. For what reason?
Well,
they're not supposed to be fraternizing, right? They're not supposed to be fraternizing.
But you're not suggesting that...
No, I'm not.
Other countries
I don't know.
Some
form of... I just see that, you know... when we're looking at sexual politics and we're looking at the connections that happen, you know, the military is providing Viagra. I'm hoping that that's not the case in the United States. But why? We're not supposed to have fraternization. So what's it for? Why do we provide it?
Here's an article in the BBC that said, amid the fallout from U.S. President Donald Trump's announcement on Twitter that transgender people will not be allowed to serve in the U.S. military, one statistic has been frequently raised to draw attention to the comparatively small estimated cost of transgender health care. It refers to the amount the Pentagon spends on erectile dysfunction medication annually, about $84 million, according to the Military Times newspaper. In contrast, the Rand Corporation think tank estimated last year the gender transition-related health care costs for transgender personnel would increase the military's active duty health budget by $8 million at the most. But why does the U.S. Defense Department spend so much on erectile dysfunction medication? First, it's worth pointing out that the Military Times based its figure on 2014 data from the Defense Health Agency. The money was for that year, but the newspaper also reported that $294 million had been spent on Viagra, Cialis, and other such medications since 2011. It pointed out that this cost was equivalent of more than a few fighter jets. However, this money also goes, for the military budget, goes to older retirees, 1.1 million prescriptions were filled, mostly for Viagra, but who were they for? The answer goes in some way to explaining the massive spend. And again, it is covered through the Pentagon's healthcare system, and that this also goes into PTSD.
Yes, that's one of the things I was, when you were talking, that's why I said, whoa.
For those who are for veterans, erectile dysfunction among those currently serving the U.S. has been increasing since the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan began.
So that's because of injuries and illness. Yeah, I think that's why I said, whoa, you got to be really careful.
And Libby, as to your point about fraternization, some of these people are married. Mm-hmm. And it is a health problem. You go to the doctor, you say, okay, I have this health problem, and the doctor helps you out.
Right? Nearly You're half of all
it's
the...
It's only a health problem for men.
Well, we don't know what it would have done for women in the military who have sexual problems, do we?
Not much. There's been very little...
Come on now, Libby.
Very little emphasis... on, although men would like to see there be a female Viagra, I think, especially, you know, but there hasn't been that much done on that. That's all I have to say.
But one of the things I want to clarify earlier, ISIS and others reportedly use rape as war tool, and you are not suggesting that the U.S. military does that. That's one thing
I am not suggesting
what you were saying.
For me, it raises the question of why are we spending so much money on Viagra on one hand, massive amounts, and yet we're arguing over $8 million for transgender health care.
Right, but you were not for a moment suggesting that the U.S. That's why I wanted to clear up.
You know, my
U.S. was not.
I made that point earlier in the program. Do you remember that?
Yes.
When I said you're not suggesting.
No, I am not suggesting that. But it makes one wonder. It just makes one wonder. That's all. Or it makes me wonder.
All right.
It may not make you guys wonder.
Next letter.
Okay. There is no more. It's a blank piece of paper.
Okay. Let's go to another topic then. It seems like we could use one. So I want to go to the some other issues. Putin. Let's talk about responding to the sanctions, ordering the U.S. to cut diplomatic staff by 755, as we know. The U.S. House of Representatives and Senate in huge numbers approved the sanctions, which the White House agreed over the weekend that they would sign and approve. President Vladimir Putin of Russia announced Sunday that the American diplomatic mission in Russia must reduce its staff by 755 employees in aggressive response to the new American sanctions. This seemed ripped right from the Cold War playbook and sure to increase tensions between the two capitals. And making the announcement, Mr. Putin and Russia had run out of patience waiting for relations with the U.S. to improve.
Well, we all know how this all started. He had obviously Putin was enthusiastic about the potential election of Donald Trump. So he puts his marbles in that basket. And Trump complies. To this day, Trump has not been anything but nice about Putin. There's no question about that. Now, along comes the United States Congress, and they say, this is dangerous. So they vote overwhelmingly. They vote overwhelmingly to extend the sanctions on Putin, as well as a couple of other countries who become sort of there. So in any case, now what happens? We know that they're going to look at Putin now looks at this, and Trump has done some embassy things, and Putin says, okay, you know, let's get rid of all these people. Now, we all know that behind some of this is that among those people are spies, right? We know that, don't we? Don't we know there are a lot of spies that the Russians send over here and that we send over there? So-called
assets.
Yeah, we made
them send 35 spies back in December.
Yeah, assets on the ground, we call them. We call them assets.
Right.
And so, you know, this is not troublesome to me at all. After all, Trump is the guy who wants to save money. You know, there's a lot of money saved there.
We're putting Russians out of employment.
Right.
A lot of these people are Russian nationals who work at the embassy.
Right. Given the numbers, that there aren't the number of people that they say have to stop working for the U.S. exceeds the number of U.S. people there. So a lot of the people, a lot of these 700 or so, are Russian citizens who work for the U.S. embassy.
I know this is going to seem cruel.
You
and I know we'll get letters. I don't care.
Right.
Too bad.
Yeah. We'll hold there. We'll take a break and we'll come back. We have. We'll continue on this and many other subjects as well. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. We'll be right back after this. Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Let us get to some letters, and then we'll move on to other topics. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Teresa Bourgeois, and Libby Post making up the panel this morning as we welcome you back for our second hour of the roundtable, and we go to these letters.
Okay. Good morning, panel.
Morning.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think a weaker executive could be a good thing? The executive branch has accrued too much power. The legislature needs to reassert itself and its prerogative, starting with war powers. And that's from Greg. I think the letter speaks for itself. It depends. To me, it depends on who's the president, for example. I think you look at this, the executive certainly does have a lot of power. For example, this president has the power to defeat the Obamacare on his own just by, you know, undermining it with executive orders. And that's what he's doing.
Actively,
okay.
Aggressively.
Thomas says, Bush brought into his administration General Colin Powell. Good point. It was not Powell that was the problem in American government. It was Bush. Tom from Catskill. All right. Huh. I get a little bit more stuff on my hands here. All right.
Spittle.
Good morning. That's right. Good morning, panel.
Good morning.
In a letter organized by the Catholic Social Justice Lobby Network, the nuns cited Pope Francis. Quote, health is not a consumer good, but a universal right, so access to health services cannot be a privilege, unquote. And noted, matter-of-factly, to cut Medicaid and take health care from millions of people is not a pro-life stance, and that's from the Washington Post. The Democrats and the proponents of single-payer health care should adopt the common sense of the Pope, and nuns take on this aspect of pro-life philosophy. Have a great day, all. So Denise says, don't forget, many military personnel are married. Fraternizing is not the issue with them. I'm for both Viagra and reassignment surgery. Please, Libby, check your facts before making broad, incorrect statements. It's very Trumpian. Denise from Loudonville. Thanks for your letter. Ann says, it is my understanding that this type of drug is also prescribed to women with sexual dysfunction. I think the statements involving never should not be used unless there is documentation to make up the claim, and that's from Ann. Thank you, Ann. All right. That's what I got, Joseph.
All right. Let's move on to other topics then, and we go to some other issues, and as soon as I have a computer that allows me to do that, I will immediately, I promise you.
We'll make it so. Do you need another computer?
No, I'm fine.
We can afford it. Well,
I got it.
Healthcare?
Let's go to healthcare. So the issue is in GOP's repeal failure, Democrats find a potential game plan say it isn't so. So, outnumbered but emboldened, progressive Democrats who watch Republicans fail to unwind the Affordable Care Act are thinking harder about passing major expansions of health care coverage. For many younger activists and legislators, the push to undo the ACA with just 51 votes is less a cautionary tale than a model of how to bring about universal coverage. The ambitious idea discussed by the congressional backbenches and among activists is not embraced by Democratic leaders. And the hours after the repeal push stalled, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer suggested that Republicans sit down and trade ideas with Democrats. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi suggested that Republicans fully fund subsidies for current ACA exchange plans, money that President Trump frequently threatens to cut off.
I made that point about 5 minutes ago, which is that the executive power that this guy has allows him to really destroy the program. And I think that that's what he's trying to do. Now, remind me of what the letter writer or what the article says about what the backbenchers want.
The idea of that this is a plan for them to go to universal health care. Go ahead, Teresa.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I want you to. You know this better than I do. Do it.
What this group of people is saying, that one of the lessons from the Republicans is that you can use budget reconciliation
to
change health care rather than go back to regular order.
Right.
And on this, I firmly disagree with them.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're a group of progressives who are gathering together and saying, let us take one lesson from this. Let us think about how we can use budget reconciliation to move towards single payer, because we know we'll never get consensus on it. And I think on this, I agree with Senator Schumer and Pelosi and others, and even Senator Flake, a very conservative Republican from Arizona, is just out with a book and talking in the last few days about this, about how we really need to go back to regular order, and what when you gain bipartisanship, that means that you gain a broader spectrum of the American public. You have support for your ideas, and those are the ideas that stick, and that's what we should do, and I agree with him and them.
Well, I know that you're a big proponent, as everybody else is right now, considering what Trump is up to, of, quote, regular order. On the other hand, I've been around and old enough to remember when a chairman of a committee in regular order could, in the regular order of things, could really destroy any idea that you could move ahead. For example, there used to be a character named Judge Smith, and he was the head of the Rules Committee in the Congress. And every time that they tried to bring up civil rights legislation, Judge Smith would go apple picking. You couldn't find him. You'd say, I'm going apple picking now. It took a strong arm president like Lyndon Johnson to cut that out.
In response to leaders around the country, led by Martin Luther King and others,
yes,
who brought the country to the point where the members of Congress could not stall any longer. And a number of legislators and Lyndon Johnson showed some real political courage, and also obviously in the aftermath of the assassination of President Kennedy, which gave more opportunity for political courage. Mm-hmm. But in that case, the public was moved, you know, by a lot of, there was a lot of turmoil in the country.
Yes.
But they were brought to that point.
But on the substantive issue of universal health care, I've been saying on this program, I do think it's coming. I didn't, but I really think it's coming now. And the reason is that this mess is so brought such clarity to what health care is all about that I believe that if the Senate and the House go Democratic, there's a very good chance that you're going to see a move towards something like universal health care as Medicare expansion as it goes on.
One of the things that has come out of this debate in the last couple of months is that I think that there's a much stronger support in this country for Medicaid than people realized, because there's a much broader awareness that, you know, Medicaid has long been thought about, oh, it's just a giveaway to the poor. But in fact, there's been a lot of public education and awareness that, in fact, it's people in nursing homes and people with disabilities and middle class and schools and such. And so what I think, you know, I've said this before, but I think will happen a version of what you've just said, Alan, which is that Medicaid will continue to expand and Medicare will continue to expand, and veterans' health will continue to expand. And over time, these will expand enough so that virtually everyone is covered, so that you may never have that one single bill that comes to the floor and House or Senate floor and gets passed that says it's a single-payer bill. But in fact, you will have incremental change that over time will give everybody coverage.
I think that what made that so obvious for folks was the disability advocates during this whole healthcare debate and how they put themselves on the line, and the images of people being in wheelchairs being dragged out of congressional offices brought Medicaid and the money that those folks get front and center, because that's, you know, SSI, SSD, and it made it so clear what the impact that these cuts would have on the folks with disabilities and parents with whose kids are disabled, and, you know, parents who rely on this kind of on these funds to be able to provide the basic health care for their severely disabled kids.
And I mean, there's no doubt that there is work to be done on the current healthcare structure. The question is, will you have, will the Republicans follow people like Senator McCain and Senator Collins and Senator Murkowski and Senator Flake and others, all Republicans, all conservative? Well, I'm not, Collins is a bit moderate, but will they follow them, or will they follow Donald Trump and Secretary Price, who, you know, their modus operandi is to cut the funding cut the time in which people can sign up, cut the funding to educate people on outreach, and keep threatening to withhold payments to insurance companies to destabilize the markets.
I think that there's some government oversight, I can't remember the name of it, that is actually investigating Tom Price and HHS for using funds to market the ACA, using those funds to not unmarket, but to send negative messaging out about the ACA.
Anyway, Larry says, panel, the snickering tone of the female panel members regarding Viagra for vets and serving members of the military is disturbing. Do a little research. Well, Larry, I'm not a female member of this panel, and there was no such thing done here. Nobody was snickering. So, you know, my answer to you would be cut it out.
Yeah, Phil, in fact, I think we talked about, and Joe brought up some of the statistics about some of this goes to people who've been injured, PTSD, others. So
I don't think there was snickering. Yeah. I mean, there may have been a substantive discussion, but it wasn't snickering. All right. Phil says, the old saying, if you bend a stick quickly, it will snap. But bend it a little each day, and you can bend it in a circle. Each day we see new outrages from Trump, but do we see as much change from the as much outrage from the public? Getting used to it? That's Phil in Niskayuna.
That's my fear.
Okay. Libby talks as though she would gladly see military wives and girlfriends do without conjugal relations they have come to expect. And that's from Eric. Okay. And James, talk about chaos. As usual, you are continually talking over one another. No one can understand a word of what is being said. No one? No one? No one can understand a word of what is being said. Undisciplined and unprofessional. You need to work out some signaling talk-in-turn system, and this should be Joe's responsibility. You often sound like a room full of first graders. Professional talk programs don't have this problem. And that's Jim in Hanacroy.
I'm sorry, what show is that?
Right.
What show is that?
Yeah.
What you show me a show that doesn't have that problem. When you have passionate people on talking about an issue, you're going to have people who are looking at each other, and we have cues. We're looking at each other. We're communicating.
We do pretty good.
Yeah,
and I'm still learning.
I don't
Give
know.
Me a break.
Say that again. Example.
I said I'm still learning. Give me a break.
Dylan says, smart business provide reproductive health care for their employees so they can be happier, healthier, more professionally fulfilled, and more productive at work. I support Viagra and reassignment.
Okay.
And Madeline says, hi, folks.
Hi.
Hi.
I just tuned in. I'm not sure if you already referred to the situation in Venezuela. Yeah, that's something. But I would appreciate, as a dual citizen, your comments. Thoughts about U.S. sanctions, much appreciated. Well, you know, I don't know enough about it, and I have been looking at an awful lot of articles and things. But basically, Maduro is left-wing, and therefore Trump doesn't like left-wing Maduro. So Trump is making noises like, you better watch out. We don't like this. And by the way, they are not alone. For example, Venezuela doesn't like it. And a lot of other countries are saying this is a raid on democracy. And to me, I think that sounds reasonable. He wants a constitutional convention. He didn't call the convention so that people got a chance to vote on whether there should be a convention. What he did was to say, okay, you have a choice as to who goes to the convention, which hasn't been authorized.
It also, from what I read in the article this morning in the Times, it made it seem like all of these changes enable their Congress or their whatever it's called to remove him. That they, it gives him a, they, it, that this, all these changes give that body a lot of power.
I don't think you're right about that.
I don't know. That's it. Just yeah. I thought when I read that, I was like,
well,
wow,
you may be right
weird.
Technically, but there's a, but this is obviously
because his people are there. They're
this
not
is obviously a putsch of sorts.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would like to know what the writer thinks, since she's a dual citizen.
Sure. It's always good.
Were you going to say something?
Well, I just read an interesting tweet from Bill Kristol,
yes.
conservative Republican, you know, the in response to the president's tweet about there's no chaos in the White House. He said, the problem isn't chaos in the White House. The problem is contempt for the rules, mm-hmm. procedures, and norms of lawful and responsible governance. I thought that was a wise take on the issue.
What was the first line of that, though?
The problem isn't the chaos in the White House. The problem is contempt.
The problem is that, though. I mean, that is part of the problem,
right.
isn't it?
But if they were... if they
I
were,
understand his greater point, but that is still a problem.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, the Clinton White House in the very beginning was a bit chaotic. Remember, they were still kind of in campaign mode, and but they
and
weren't
they
breaking...
don't ask, don't tell right away, which
they
is
made
a mistake.
You know, they made a mistake, blah, blah. Yeah. So there was confusion, but they got it together after a short amount of time. They... shift around staff, but the issue, I think he's right about this. The real issue is this contempt for the rule of law,
right? And that contempt is the foundation of some of the people that are actually in the White House, like Steve Bannon, who wants to bring down what he calls the deep state, which is the administration and the federal government,
right?
All right, so we only have 2 minutes left, but
really?
There is the North Korea issue.
Oh, wow. The most dangerous issue.
Which is U.S. Displaying military firepower after the latest ICBM test. And it is a very
the most
serious...
dangerous issue.
I don't know what to do about this. I mean, this is really a stumper. We know that Obama warned Trump about it. You know, the real question is how really crazy
this guy is.
Yeah, he is. If, I mean, you can only engage in if speculation. If he were to set one off anywhere to prove his point, what would the United States do under any president? Would you go in there and drop paratroops in there? Would you nuke them? What would you do? What would you do, Teresa? You're nodding your head back and forth as if you have an answer.
I am not an expert in this. I'm not anything close to an expert in this, but I'm quite worried about it. So I've been reading everything I can. And from what all the experts say, they start with saying there's no good option here. Because the military option, though you never want to take it off the table, mm-hmm. the military option is catastrophic. The military option results in just an unthinkable number of people being killed.
So let's say he nukes Japan or an island off of Japan.
Or
what would you do?
If he does anything like that, I think all the countries that are our allies will, Japan, some of the other, the CETO, some of the NATO, there will be a coordinated attack on North Korea, and North Korea will be the one
with nukes or with troops.
I think with conventional air strikes that will take out their hotspots, where they have their bombs stored, which will then create a nuclear fallout, but it'll be within North Korea.
Have a wildfire. You end up with a wildfire.
I think it can be World War III on a very disaschoous level. But I think that there will be.
Will the Chinese come in and help them?
See, that's the thing. What
do
they
do? Who would the Chinese
Unfortunately,
help?
We only have about 15 minutes, or 15 seconds.
What do the Chinese do? One can only hope that this is where cybersecurity works, and that our cyber capacities
can shut them down.
This is my own, the only hope, I think, is that we have cyber capacity to shut this down.
We're out of time. Thank you all very much. We'll be back after this.